Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Keith Brabender, and this show is called Old and New. And I didn't do one last week because it's been the holidays, and we do these things intermittently when we have some other activities. But today I'd like to talk about David Duke, because he's been in the news quite a bit, and it's being used already as a way of trying to undermine the entire way in which the Republican Party is perceived in the country, and particularly in which we keep having a reenactment over and over again from the left of how they feel about the South, the southern states of the United States. I'd like to remind you that I have a novel on Amazon called A Deserted Place and a book of poetry called The Summit of Things. You can find them on Amazon under my name, Keith Brabender, or the names of the book, A Deserted Place or The Summit of Things. And this show is called Old and New, and my name is Keith Brabender. David Duke is in the news this week because of a situation that arose with a senator who was currently serving, and that is a senator named Steve Scalise, and he is the third ranking member of the Republican Party in the Congress of in the House of Representatives. This came up because this is the new term, and the new Republican Congress was just sworn in, and everybody's going to try to figure out the best way to attack the Republican Party, since they just took power away from the Democratic Party. There are two attacks that are made against the Republican Party on a very consistent basis from the left, and that is, one, they're stupid, and you can put a slash in that and say that they're stupid and religious. And when you're religious, the left considers you stupid, and when you're stupid, the left figures there's a good chance you're religious. And the other attack against the Republican Party that's very consistent is that they're racist. Now, yes, there is that old school attack that the Republicans are for the rich people and not the poor, but this has kind of gotten people a little bit in trouble, because after the reign of Mr. Obama and his endless vacations and his golfing and his $500 dinners and his $10,000 suits, and his wife's million-dollar vacations, it's really hard to argue that it's only the Republican Party that is likes money and likes living on the high end. There's some argumentation for it, but it doesn't work as nearly as well as it may have worked in the past. David Duke is the classic key representative in the minds of the left, and the Western press, of the racist Republican. And the reason he's so important is he represents what the left considers to be something that is not of the fringe. And this is really important to understand. If you are truly a hardcore leftist, in my opinion, and you view white men, as they're called, there is a belief that all white men, by and large, are racist. We give a daily performance that we're not, but David Duke may not be a centerpiece of the Republican power structure anymore, but he is in the left's mind, a representative of what the white man right wing really is. Now, if you don't understand who David Duke is, he is a politician out of Louisiana who's now a social commentator. He ran for office a couple of times. He's in his 60s now. He ran for office a few times back in the 1980s and 90s. Got quite a few votes in the state of Louisiana when he ran, and he did serve in the state house one time. But the reason he's considered to be so notorious is that when he was a young man, he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. This raises a very interesting subject, which I will get to in a moment, about what it means to have done something when you're 20 and still have it held against you when you're 65. But besides that, that's what everybody brings up, that he's this radical white supremacist who wants to, you know, purge the country like a Nazi. They always put the white supremacists and the Nazis together. And if you read Nazi theory is way, way past being a white supremacist. It's on an entire another metaphysical plane. But anyway, the point is he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. So every time he's mentioned, it's ex-Ku Klux Klan member David Duke. And Mr. Scalise got in trouble as a member of the Congress because it was shown back in 02 that he gave a speech in front of one of the groups, a European group that David Duke sponsors. And of course, the left says that this group, which is called like the Euro Organization of America or something, it doesn't matter what it's called, is a disguise for the old Ku Klux Klan. Now, for those of you who don't really understand who the Ku Klux Klan is, what's fascinating about this is the Ku Klux Klan was originally the terrorist wing of the Democratic Party. In its origins, the Ku Klux Klan had nothing to do with the Republican Party. They hated the Republican Party because in its origins, under Abraham Lincoln, the Republican Party was the anti-slave party. The Democratic Party was the pro-slavery party. And when the Ku Klux Klan was created in the late 1860s, it was very much out of the old pro-slavery South. And the idea is that it eventually became the terrorist wing of the Democratic Party. So it's very ironic that the left is always screaming about the Ku Klux Klan, but its origins are out of the Democratic Party in conjunction with terrorizing the population of the South after the Civil War. Now, after that, the Ku Klux Klan got reconstructed. And this is one of the problems that the mentioning the Ku Klux Klan has. Ku Klux Klan in the 1920s had a great reemergence, and it was actually a very powerful social organization and was no longer literally the terrorist organization that it had existed as in the 1860s after the Civil War. Men joined it for all kinds of reasons, much the same way you could argue that people in foreign countries joined the Communist Party, or that men in Germany in 1935 joined the Nazi Party because it was the party of power. And if you joined it, it would give you benefits. And sometimes you just didn't, you know, you ignored the rest of the baggage. There are pictures of Mr. Duke on the television and on the internet of him and his Ku Klux Klan outfit. And he hasn't been a member for 37 years, as according to him. So let's get to the nuts and bolts of the issues I want to talk about today that I think really are important. The first one is I want to get to a speech I heard the other day, and I think this really very much talks about the situation. I listened to a lot of different radio shows, and I heard a little blurb from a man who was a bishop of a what would be considered to be a renegade sect, if you want to use that term, in the Catholic Church. He's an ultra-conservative priest. And he made a comment that I think is very interesting. He said that the way the left portrays itself and liberalism portrays itself is very much attuned to the way in which we hear people talk about the French Revolution. And what this amounts to is the French Revolution, he said, had all this horror associated with it under Robespierre. If you ever read about it, at the end of it, it was extremely bloody. And there was all kinds of guillotinings and killings of people, and it was just a real reign of terror. Literally, that's what it was called. And he said that what happened was, after it was over, what people did was they said, well, you know, there was way too much bloodshed and he shouldn't have killed all those people and it was wrong to do that. And maybe we should, you know, not want to associate ourselves with the bloodshed. the motives of the people were good, and the revolution brought about, got rid of the aristocracy, and it brought about change, and it made France into a different country. And therefore, even though there was all this bloodshed and horror, in the end, it was okay, because the fundamental beliefs of the system were admirable. This is fundamentally the synopsis of why someone like David Duke is perpetually bashed on. He's bashed because the left wing says that there are no fundamental values of goodness, justice, or anything they believe in the right wing, that they don't exist. And that anybody who says the right wing is a virtuous group of people simply don't understand the fact that they have none. If you see a diehard conservative Republican in his own $10,000 suit, just like Mr. Obama, there is nothing redeemable or good about that person's philosophy or way of life. It's evil and it's bad. The opposite side of it is the left, who, even though the left has committed in the last 50 years, or even if you say since 1920, when the world revolution started, that the hardcore left, represented by the communists, have committed probably the greatest humanitarian crimes in history as a group, between Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, and all the gang that went with them in the Eastern Europe, they still would argue that there was a fundamental attempt by the left to make a, quote, a better world, and that there is a virtue in what they wanted to do, and therefore, even though they may have been violent and terrible, even though they murdered 140 million people, there's still somehow in the middle of all that carnage a virtue. Now, this seems really weird in a way, but if you look at the way example of this that is right in our face, it's the structure of the American university system. I defy anybody in this country or anybody in the world to go through every university that exists in America and find me a college professor that is a Nazi. I want you to find me somebody who's teaching at a major university in the United States that is a member of the American Nazi Party or a German Nazi Party or any Nazi Party. The Nazi Party is actually illegal in Germany, but anyway, find me one. Find me a guy that has a picture of Hitler on his wall. But I personally have been in professors' offices when I was a youth in the 70s that had a picture of Karl Marx on the wall. And I have been in universities that have pictures of Mao Zedong on the wall. There are university professors in this country who are actually will publicly admit that they're communists. And they're very unapologetic. There's one guy over in the East Coast who wrote a book claiming that Joseph Stalin never committed a crime, that he never did anything wrong. And this is the paradox and the insanity of why David Duke makes the left so hysterical. He makes the left hysterical because they have to find what they consider to be the definitive representation of the evil white man in the Republican Party. And in their minds, he holds the key. He holds the scepter, as it were, of the evil white man in the whole right-wing hierarchy. And they attempt in every way they can to have this evil white man synopsis brought into the Republican Party to show that this is truly the outcome and the outlook of what the Republican Party wants to be. This is why this is such a big deal. They are now immediately, on the day that the Republican Party got sworn in, telling you that all the members of the Republican Party are fundamentally Ku Klux Klan members, that they want to kill all the black people, get rid of all the Jews, and they want to get rid of all the Catholics, apparently, too, because that was one of the foundational elements of the Ku Klux Klan, which is kind of silly now, in retrospect, because, you know, I don't really think that the Protestants have any particular interest in rounding up the Catholics anymore. But this is what they want you to believe. It mostly has to do with women, blacks, and Jews. And yes, Mr. Duke is a diehard anti-Zionist. And I actually would argue with you that this may be more important than any of the other two. the racism card about white people not liking black people is kind of passe anymore. And it's passe for a lot of reasons. Yes, there's all these Ferguson problems, and yes, there's a lot of racial tension in America. I get that. But it's passe because the government of the United States has spent so much time trying to remedy this problem, at least on the face. The amount of money, the appointments of blacks into various offices. We have the attorney general is black. We have a black president. We have black people on the Supreme Court. You know, we have great black leaders. I mean, this situation, the government's really worked hard on this. And the women thing is the same thing. 60% of the women now, like people who graduate from college now, are female. It's hard to really argue that the government of the United States in the last two generations has not done an awful lot to attempt to remedy. And it's a lost cause to get up and start yelling and screaming as a white man that you don't want women to vote or something. It's just stupid. It's not going to go anywhere. But the anti-Zionist is a threat. And the truth of the matter is the Republican Party doesn't want anybody in it who's anti-Zionist. And this is why David Duke poses such a problem for the Republican Party. Party is the most diehard Zionist group in the United States. And it has the most fundamentally deep, wide Zionist constituency of any political party in the United States, in my opinion. There are aspects of the Democratic Party that don't like Zionism. And I've read pamphlets from them, and I've read articles in them. I told you when I worked in Philadelphia, there were numerous articles about it from people who argued quite openly that they really felt that Israel should never have been created. And these were people who were on the left. These are the pro-Palestinian. There's a lot of movement in that. And there's a lot going on in the Democratic Party. And if the greatest representative of this is Chris Hedges, who just got barred again from going to a conference at the University of Pennsylvania because the Zionist members of the committees feel that he is anti-Israel and they don't want him there. And I think in the end, this is the real interesting paradox, as it were, or problem that David Duke has got. You can argue all you want that he represents the Republican Party, but if you are a diehard anti-Zionist, you don't represent the Republican Party. And I don't think the press wants to talk about this. They want to focus on the racial side of it. That's what they want to talk about. And they want to claim that the Ku Klux Klan is just simply anti-Semitic. But the fact of the matter is the anti-Zionist elements in this country now are very much together on both ends of the spectrum. I would argue with you that I could find as many anti-Zionist leftists as I could anti-Zionist supposed Nazis. They may have a whole different perspective, and they may see it from an entirely different point of view, arguably, but it really does exist. Now, the two examples of the college-educated people that I was talking about before and the university systems that show the paradox or the interesting situation of this is Angela Davis and Bill Ayers. And I guess the most radical example is Bill Ayers. Bill Ayers was the head of one of the major founders of the Weather Underground, a literal terrorist organization of the 1960s that went around bombing things and wanted to overthrow the American government. And he ended up retiring as a university professor. And, you know, David Duke has a PhD, and he's not stupid, but you would never have anybody in the system hire him as a college professor the way that they hired Bill Ayers. And Bill Ayers was an education professor, and he actually got an award for being a distinguished professor. Angela Davis, the black revolutionary, had much the same career. She started out and got involved in some tough things, went to court for a while, was accused of being violent and all that, ended up teaching. She's now a teacher. And I think the reason that the Republican Party finds this so annoying, and some people get really angry about it, is that all the left feels it has to do is label somebody a supremacist or label somebody as being anti-democratic or label somebody as a person who is a member of a, quote, neo-Nazi group, and that automatically eliminates them from the conversation. Somehow or another, we can have a man like Bill Ayers, who was a head of the Weather Underground, blowing things up, writing scholarly papers in a university, and people listen to him, and they go to his classes. But the minute you label somebody as a neo-Nazi, that means that they're completely removed from the conversation. And the question is, are the labels fair? And what do the labels mean? And so in the last 10 minutes, what I would like to do is try to come up with the obvious question as to what exactly is meant by a neo-Nazi movement in America, and what exactly is meant by white supremacy and the idea that you can't enter the conversation. The way to look at this, in my opinion, is to look at this from the point of view of somebody living in 1865. America had just, on the East Coast anyway, had just finished one of the bloodiest wars in the history of the Western world. And 1/5 of the men in the South were dead or wounded of military age, and the whole South was destroyed, and the entire United States was a mess. And we had, as I've talked about before, Reconstruction. And the idea was that the United States was supposed to have men of intelligence sit down around a table in the Congress and various places and debate and come up with a vision, an idea, when they reconstructed the country as to what it was supposed to look like. And when this was done, the interesting part of it was done by white men. We still did not turn the reins of power over to women or to blacks after 1865. And when these white men were given the opportunity to reconstruct the country, the argument could very definitively be put forth that it didn't go the way people thought it should have gone. We still had Jim Crow. We still had terrible racism. Women still couldn't vote till like 1920. They had to pass, actually had to pass a constitutional amendment to let women vote, which is a very interesting and bizarre idea in retrospect. But this is the country that the white men created. And what it really comes down to is that the people of this country who really want to change it and really want to build a different nation don't want the white men any longer to make the decisions about how the country is going to be constructed. They don't want them. Unfortunately for the left, the voting populace of particular areas of the country, especially in the South, still vote white men into power. And there's still a lot of white men that they don't like who have a lot of power. If you look at the two men running the country now in 2015 in the Congress between Boehner and McConnell, these two men are completely and utterly against every idea of what a leftist or a member of the establishment press or anybody thinks should be running the country. They're the wrong people. And this has been going on since 1865. And the white men, in their opinion, don't want to give up the power. And what David Duke represents is a radical person who was attempting to tell his own white constituency that you're being shoved out of the process, that they don't want you anymore, that you literally are going to, are having your own country disown you. And what David Duke argues is that the people who are doing this for some very devious and underhanded reasons, and they're not doing it because they're great and virtuous people. And the point would be, if you're going to claim that Bill Ayers is an exception to the rule, go look around the university somewhere and tell me how many communists there are that actually teach at public universities. Marxist journals, theories on Marxist analysis, class struggle, feminist struggle, the whole way in which university systems give out their money to people. It's just an example. And you can hate David Duke all you want if you feel that there's a great need for it. But I think you should be much more concerned about what he represents. And what he represents is a group of people who feel that they are literally being taken out of the democratic process at every turn. And people laugh at that because, you know, we have so many men in the Congress. But this is an example of why these men are paranoid about it. When Mr. Scalise went to this meeting in 2002 to give this talk, even people who were completely against him and think he's a racist Nazi admit they don't really know what he was talking about. All they do know is he supposedly told them that we live in a Christian country. And if you really want to get somebody from the hardcore left upset, tell them that America is a Christian country. And then they go bananas. But I think the reason David Duke keeps reemerging, I wrote in my notes here that he has risen from the ashes over and over again. And he's risen from the ashes over and over again because he's been discounted over and over, and he keeps reappearing. And his current manifestation, he has reappeared because of the internet. The right wing fringes of this country and the left wing, as they're described, I don't know if they're really as fringes, and this is the point, they may not be as fringe as we want to believe, but we call them that, have really reemerged under the internet, because you can create your own websites and run your own radio shows, and you can do all these things. And David Duke now has his own website, he has his own radio show, he's on television, he's being interviewed by people, he's around, he's still here. And he's still here because this whole clash over whether or not the white European dominated psychology of what was described as the post-Civil War mentality of America has any place left in the country. And when he eventually dies, however long that takes, and his generation dies, this is the generation that was involved, was a Vietnam style generation, but saw it much differently than the left did in the Vietnam War. I don't really know if there is going to be anybody in particular to replace them that I can see of the new generation. And the reason for this is that it is, you know, let's be honest about it. If you were to attend the average Ku Klux Klan meeting, I'm really sure there probably aren't that many PhDs present. But somehow or another, that kind of makes me nervous. It really makes me nervous to think that it's the PhDs of America that advocate communism and Karl Marx. Because it makes you really wonder if there's something gone wrong with the educational system and what are the intelligent people doing. On the other hand, I do have to admit that there's lots of PhDs who are also on the complete opposite end of the economic spectrum, who are the Milton Friedman guys, who are equally awful, and they've got PhDs too, and they're running around running the IMF, destroying countries and overthrowing people and committing murders everywhere. However, my point would be that it's fine to accuse the white supremacists of us just being a bunch of dumb idiots, but I don't think people really and truly understand the fact that there are people in the world, and David Duke just simply, in their minds, represents them, who feel that the foundational members of the country, the 90% of the Europeans that used to be the 90% of this country in 18 or 1930 and ran the place and built this extraordinary civilization are simply now disregarded as complete fools and racists and Nazis that want to go out and commit vast crimes against all kinds of people and are simply have to be disregarded and ridiculed and gotten rid of. I want to see if anybody is ever going to condemn a member of the Democratic Party for having lunch with Bill Ayers. And if they don't, then I really think we need to decide if this whole thing about David Duke is nothing more than the same old thing where it's just a way of getting, having to listen to what anybody has to say about anything, and this is just how you do it. Thank you very much. My time is up again, and have a great day. Bye.